Well, it was Passover. And the hearts and minds of the devout Jews had turned toward Jerusalem. While the law required that all Jewish males over the age of 12 who lived in a prescribed distance around the holy city attend the services and the celebrations in Jerusalem during Passover, the truth was everyone wanted to be there. There was just something about being in Jerusalem, about being in the temple at Passover. Everyone wanted the opportunity to go into the temple, the home of God. Oh, what a temple it was. Solomon's temple had been destroyed, and it was beautiful in and of itself, but this one, well, Caesar Augustus, or Herod the Great, I mean, he had decided almost 50 years earlier that perhaps if he rebuilt the temple, those stubborn Jews would begin to follow him. And oh, what a temple he built. And every year, the Jews would go back to Jerusalem to see the progress that had been made on God's holy house. They loved the temple, but they hated Herod the Great. And they hated every ruler that followed him. But oh, the temple. Sitting high on a hill, overlooking the Holy Land. It was the place they wanted to be. It is the place everyone wanted to be. But appearances can be deceiving, can't they? So while the temple was beautiful and it had been set aside as God's sacred home, there was something wrong. There was something terribly wrong within those hallowed walls. And Jesus sensed it the moment that he entered the court of the Gentiles. Cattle were bellowing, sheep were bleating, doves were cooing, coins were clanking, and people were yelling over the din of it all, trying to be heard. And Jesus stood there in the midst. And all he could think of was, this is the house of God, this is the best you can do. It's a circus. It's a zoo. And so he grabbed himself a whip and he began to chase people out of the temple, and he was overturning tables and he was releasing doves, and it was chaos. It was mayhem. But Christians, there's something we don't understand. Despite all the noise and the confusion, everything that was going on in that temple that day was mandated by law. No one had done anything wrong. In an attempt to keep the temple holy, a place set aside for God and God alone, if you read in Deuteronomy, you begin to realize that the money changers, they had to be there. You couldn't take anything that was unholy into the temple, including your money. And if it had a picture of Caesar on the coin, it was filth, as far as the Jews were concerned. And so the money changers would take the money and they would give you the temple coinage so you could buy your sacrifices, so you could go into the temple and you could pay your temple taxes to make certain that the temple would remain open. And as for all of those sacrifices, people had to walk for days to get to the temple. And while many of them attempted to bring their own animals with them, the animal had to be perfect. Have you ever tried to lead a calf or a cow across rocky terrain and not have it slip and cut itself or bruise itself? The animals were there so the Jews could offer their sacrifice just as they had been told through Moses. So why was Jesus angry? Why did he object to the money changers and the animals? Well, friends, it wasn't so much what the people were doing. What Jesus wanted to know is, did it have to happen inside the temple? Why couldn't the animals and the money changers be set up outside? Oh, it was spectacular outside too. But do you know where they were? I told you just a moment ago, they were set up in the court of the Gentiles. The only place that non-Jewish people could go to worship God. Could it be that Jesus was angry because in the guise of obeying the law, the religious leaders had figured out a way to keep those they didn't want in out? If the Gentiles weren't willing to stand in the midst of the cattle and the sheep and the doves and the money changers and worship, they couldn't worship at all. According to Ulick Glower, while the place appeared to fulfill its function, a closer look reveal that it had forgotten its purpose. While the trappings were still in place, the temple had been taken over by consumers and marketers who knew how to fill the pews and meet the capital campaign goals, but had forgotten the main goal was to worship God. Glower then goes on to point out that when the religious authorities confronted Jesus about the havoc and the mayhem he had created, not one of them asked him why he had done it. Do you remember what they said? They wanted to know by whose authority and how did Jesus respond? You destroy the temple, and I will raise it up in 3 days. Do you hear what he was saying? You destroy the temple. You. Kind of accusatory, isn't it? The authorities and the religious leaders had, by all appearances, done nothing wrong. They were simply observing the laws and the customs and the traditions of the time. But the way in which they were doing it and the reasons they had for doing it were, shall we say, less than honorable. And they knew it. And they knew that Jesus knew it. And they knew that when he said, "You destroy the temple," exactly what he meant. It was the thing about the 3 days they didn't understand. But we do. We understand it. So what would Jesus say about the church today? Would he be happy with our buildings and our rituals and our customs? Or would he question our motives and condemn our techniques? You know, those are hard questions to answer. And that is why we would rather ignore them than to take an honest look at our motives. And yet the only way we will ever grow, the only way we will ever become one body, is to hear his questions, to look within ourselves and to answer him honestly. In the words of Paul Schlupe, it is important for us to explore the anxiety of seeing Jesus with the whip of cords in his hands and hearing him with righteous judgment of God on his lips. Knowing that he speaks for us, yes, and with us, but also to us and against us. Are we willing to listen? Are we willing to hear what he has to say? It could be painful and it could be exhilarating. It could be challenging and comforting. But one thing is for certain, if we listen, if we truly listen, he will raise us to heights that are higher than we could ever imagine. Whatever it is, whatever, that is keeping us from being the Church of Jesus Christ, the foolishness of a cross says we can put it there. And we can continue on, free to serve and to love. What is it that God is saying to us this day? And do we have the faith? Do we have the strength to listen and to answer? To God be the glory. And all God's children say, Amen. Amen.